to Canada Now with Jeff Sammet on Canada Talk, Sirius XM 167.
Great regret. I'm willing to pay.
Sarah Durbin, psychologist, author, and parenting relationship expert, joins Canada Now. Sarah, good to have you as always, my friend. We just saw 12 boys and a soccer coach rescued from a cave in Thailand after being trapped there for 2 weeks, which felt like forever, and that's just us on the outside looking in. Now, the recovery, and of course, there is a physical toll that comes along with all that, but what about psychologically?
Well, absolutely. And I think we shouldn't, not a lot of talk has been around how the parents are coping too. So if you don't mind, maybe we could talk a little bit about that, because I know that even in the parenting community, personally and professionally, even, you know, parents that are across the country were saying that they were having a difficult time even watching the news with thoughts of how they would have been if their children were in a similar situation. So, you know, I think that some parents would have wanted to be at that cave chipping away at it with a hammer. So very, very traumatizing for the parents, and especially for the parents of the children who are now recovering in hospital.
It's quite a remarkable feeling, and I don't mean that in a good way, when you are a parent and you don't feel like you are in control of your child's present and future. It's I have experience, very, very little experience in that, and I can only imagine what the parents would have gone through over such a long period of time.
Well, the great thing was that, I mean, the world was all really, you know, from Israel, who I understand that Israeli technology helped to find them in the cave, to other people in other parts of the world offering help. I think that the parents probably took comfort in the fact that nobody was sitting back and waiting. Everybody was mega involved with coming up with ideas, and the Thai Navy SEALs and the doctors and the medics and everybody that was putting themselves in harm's way to get to their children and then to be able to communicate with their children. And I know that the children were sending the parents messages, you know, with messages like, don't worry about me, we're okay. You know, make sure that you make fried chicken for when I get out, and make sure that I still have that birthday party, and hope that the teachers won't give us too much work. So, you know, I think for parents on the outside world who were listening in to potentially to all of the news that we were getting, they were probably a lot more anxious than the kids inside, because the kids, I don't believe, were being advised of all the perils and the journey that they would have to navigate. So I don't believe that they were having the same kind of anticipatory anxiety that the parents would have been experiencing, knowing what was yet to come, because they knew that as much as it was terrible in the cave and as much as they were running out of oxygen and didn't have as much food as they would like to for them to have, they knew that the worst was yet to come in terms of their kids actually getting out of there safely.
Well, what about like now and more so the future? Because I can imagine as a parent, even if it's like 2-3 years from now, where my kid comes to me after being through something like that and says, you know, if assuming that they, psychologically speaking, are balanced and relatively okay, that they would come to me and say, you know, Dad, I want to go on this trip, or I want to go do this is field trip,
right,
whatever it is. I don't know if I want to let my kid out of my sights or able to do something like that. Like, I would feel that kind of stress in this aftermath for many, many years. I wouldn't want to let my kid go anywhere.
Well, absolutely. Now, you know, take into account that cultures are very different. And in North America, you know, many parents tend to be more protective of their children. In other countries, you know, like maybe even in Thailand, my understanding is that these boys were actually familiar with the caves, had actually navigated the caves to some extent, perhaps on their own. Maybe they weren't as tethered to their parents as we have our kids tethered to us in North America, for example. Having said that, I think that the emotion, the human emotion that any parent would feel, as you said, would be such that you would be more nervous. So I know that if I was in that situation in North America, my daughter was, you know, had been exploring a cave-like dwelling and was trapped in there, I personally would be very nervous, of course, about her going and exploring a cave again, even if she wanted to. However, maybe I would take comfort in knowing that statistically, what are the chances really of that happening again? You know, but I would, I think as a parent, I would want to keep my child wrapped in cotton wool. And I think as parents, we often have to think about, especially when we've been through a traumatic situation like that, could be anything, any trauma that we've experienced with our kids. Maybe they've had to go to hospital for something. You know, you tend to pamper them a little bit more when they get home. You tend to be more vigilant to the, even to the point where your kids are saying, just leave me alone already, because you're so afraid of any harm coming to them. And so I think as parents, we always have to think about, you know, are we doing this for our child's benefit? Are we, you know, are we over pampering and over protecting them because of our own personal fears? So I think it's a thing that we as parents deal with, and especially for those parents that have been through the incredible trauma of waiting. You know, first it was like relief and elation that their children had been found, of course. But then it was the long waiting and hearing everything about what was going on, and then knowing about the Thai Navy SEAL who had lost his life and thinking, well, if he lost his life, you know, what's the chances of my child getting out safely? So I think that that trauma, that post-traumatic stress that we hear about would absolutely be part of the, these families' lives, and maybe even worse for the parents than for the kids, in fact.
And I was just about to ask you, can kids bounce back more quickly from this than adults?
Well, I think children by nature are more resilient. You know, let's keep in mind again that these were 11 to 16-year-old boys. They had experienced caves before. They did, I think, like adventure. I'm hoping that these boys will be able to look back at this as, you know, of course, very traumatic. It will be traumatic without food and sleep and, you know, without so much oxygen. But as an incredible, I mean, these children, this soccer team and their coach will be forever bonded, will ever forever be, you know, remember each other. And I think that their resilience will really prevail. And I think that the fact that they did stay together and supported one another, and I think because they do have age on their side, and because, as I said, you know, especially boys of this age do like adventure, I'm really hoping that in time to come that they will be able to see this as a grand adventure and as a miracle and as a wonderful story to be able to share about human beings coming together and supporting and helping one another, in fact.
I was going to ask about sleep. Do you think that, I'm talking about parents and kids care, do you think they can sleep? Like, you know, the kids and no doubt the parents, their sleep patterns would have been badly interrupted. And what about the fears that come along with it? You know, maybe a fear of the dark,
absolutely,
some triggers, fear of small spaces, what have you. How do you think everybody's doing with that?
So I don't know how they're doing, but absolutely, you know, any kind of traumatic experience like this has an aftermath. And, you know, you can imagine, I mean, there was no real place to sleep. If they closed their eyes, they didn't even know if it was night or day. Their whole circadian rhythms have been off. You know, they were likely quite disoriented, especially not knowing what time of day it is and being malnourished and dehydrated. So all of that affects them. So, you know, the first thing that I would think is they're, even when they close their eyes to sleep, you know, in a hospital bed, I'm sure feels very warm and inviting compared to what they had. They will, I would imagine, have nightmares. They may even have daymares. So as you mentioned, they may be triggered by being in the dark. They may be triggered by certain smells. They may be triggered by being in confined spaces, even if they weren't before. They're likely to be more clingy and, you know, wanting to be close to their parents a little bit more. They may experience panic or anxiety, you know, in situations where they might not have before. So I think absolutely, and even the disorientation will take a little bit of time. But again, you know, with the age of the children as they are, I think that they're, you know, the prognosis is good. I would recommend that, you know, this team be brought together at some point. Like, I think the worst scenario would be everybody kind of goes off in their own direction and doesn't see each other. But, you know, I'm thinking as a soccer team, they probably will get back together and share this experience. And I would even recommend that they come together with their coach, you know, with a therapist who deals with post-traumatic stress to be able to process the experience and talk about what they're going through so that they don't just come out of it and in a week or so just almost put it on the back burner. I think it needs to be processed in more of a therapeutic way. And even for the parents, in terms of, you know, you said sleep. I'm sure that most of those parents weren't sleeping at night. They were lying awake, you know, wanting and waiting for their children to come out. So absolutely there is an aftermath to this, but I feel positive about how things will proceed in the next, you know, few weeks to months to come.
What about the rescuers and how they take care of themselves psychologically after all of this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, even when you think of people who are frontline critical incident people, like fire people and police, you know, they seek therapy in all different kinds of ways and go through, you know, they have peer support and they have therapists who work with them in terms of dealing with things. And, you know, most firemen or people who rescue others aren't, you know, maybe they go for therapy all the time, although they kind of seek solace with one another. But when something like this has happened that is on a much grander scale, I would imagine that they too would be getting the support either as a team or individually to be able to process this. Because, you know, from what I understand, it wasn't a very, it wasn't a quick escape rescue. It was a matter of hours, and I'm sure going back and forth several times with two people, with two, you know, Navy SEALs for each child, having to squeeze, and for the adults, even more traumatic to have to squeeze through those very, very tiny passageways. The children, again, had size and agility on their side. But yeah, 100%, I think everybody involved in this, and then even, you know, losing that Navy SEAL, who I think I think he was a volunteer, and maybe wasn't, you know, on any kind of a force, perhaps. But, you know, I think that whole experience would also affect how they are, too.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt that weighed on them as they were getting the 12 boys and the soccer coach out. But
right.
In terms of survival, all's well ends well. But the recovery continues both physically and psychologically. Check out HelpMeSarah.com. Psychologist, author, parenting relationship expert Sarah Dimmerman. Sarah, as always, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Thank you.